Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
My life revolves around it. Just like when we're in this world, life revolves around work. This is my paycheck. This is the most important thing to me. And so I can't do it. I've got work. I can't do these things. I have work. And in the same way, when God calls us, yes, we're not like at work here, but we serve the King of Kings. We are called not to just add it to our life, but to make it our life. And this is my life. It's the priority for me. And the way I balance that is my family, it's their life too.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will share with you that when you enter into a relationship with Christ, He will slowly become your whole life. Throughout the New Testament, believers in Christ are often called the bride of Christ. Imagine for a moment that you're getting married. The person that you're marrying is likely already your whole life or is about to become that. The same is true in your relationship with Jesus. As you learn about Him and grow to love Him, He slowly becomes your everything. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 3 as he begins his message, Why Trust in Jesus?
So, let's get into our text. John chapter 3, verse 31 through 36, the title is Why Trust in Jesus? I remember hearing a story, an illustration of a man who would walk on a tightrope between two high-rise buildings in a busy city such as New York. So, you know, to walk across this drew the crowds. People were, wow, look at that guy, what's he doing? Or he's crazy. And yet he would do it so easily. People were drawn to the top of the building, watching from either side as he continued to show that he could do this without issue, without problems. So one time he came back and he addressed the crowd on one of the sides, and he asked them, how many of you believe I can do this? And not only by himself, but he was walking with a wheelbarrow, with stuff in the wheelbarrow. I mean, he was really showing them that he could go across this thing and have no problems. So when he spoke to the crowd, he said, how many of you believe that I can walk back and forth or go across to the other side just once with this wheelbarrow? And everyone raised their hand. And then he said, well, how many of you will have faith to entrust your life into my hands in this wheelbarrow? And do you think the same number of hands went up? No, that's different. It's very different. See, because you have to give up control. You have to risk everything, don't you? And you have no control. And once you're there, it's over. You're in. There's no going back. You have no control. As Christians, this is what it means to put your life in Jesus' hands by faith. To trust Him with your life. Trusting your whole life into His hands, and there is no turning back. You know, someone once said to me, you can't let the church consume you. You've got to balance. You got to have church, and you got to have family, and you got to have work, and you got to have this and that. And it used to sound very reasonable to me. But then I started thinking, if this is what God has called me to, and this was before I was even a pastor, if this is what God has called me to in His kingdom, like this is His kingdom work for me, then it's my life. It's not just something I add to my life. It becomes my life. My life revolves around it. Just like when we're in this world, life revolves around work. This is my paycheck. This is the most important thing to me. And so I can't do it. I've got work. I can't do these things. I have work. And in the same way, when God calls us, yes, we're not like at work here, but we serve the King of Kings. We are called not to just add it to our life, but to make it our life. And this is my life. It's the priority for me. And the way I balance that is my family, it's their life too. So it's not like my life and my family has another life elsewhere, and then I have to balance mine and them. This becomes their life also. My kids are involved. My family's involved in a little bit of everything. I hang out with my wife. I talk about things with my kids. I do stuff, and it revolves around here. It's not like work. Some of it's worship. My kids are involved in worship. My wife is involved in helping cut things down sometimes and doing the things that she likes to do. She'll come up and show up just to be here with me, so we're here together, and she'll accomplish some things. This is our life. This is what we do, because this is what God has given us to do. He's called us to this. And someone once said, well, you can't get too heavenly minded, or you can't get too into this. You have to diversify. And I will, my rebuttal is this. My family and my wife have the husband and father that they have because of Christ, because I'm all in. I'm different. If I were any less and I started to do all those other things that other people tell me I need to do, I will change. And I will not be the same person I am growing to be. See, to follow Christ means to be all in. You can't be half in. You can't be sometimes in. You got to follow Him. The disciples left everything. They didn't just add Jesus to their life. They left everything, many of them on the spot. And they followed Him. They were committed to Him, to trust Him and to follow Him. There's no better text than this one today that encourages us to do just that, to follow Christ and put all of our trust in Him, your whole life. And John gives us four reasons Jesus is so unique and worthy of such trust. Let's read the text, verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John is saying this: you can put all of your trust in Jesus because He's this, and He's this, and He's that, and He's this. You can put your whole life into Him. The first reason that we can trust Jesus with full confidence, we see in verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from above, or comes from heaven, is above all. The first reason that we can trust in Jesus, put all of our trust in Him, is because of His origin, where He's coming from. He descended from heaven. Did you know that Jesus is the only one who lived before He was born? Jesus lived and existed before He came to this earth and was born. Some of us, you know, we can have discussions about, hey, where do you come from? And we might be able to say something like, well, I was born in Texas, but I'm in Nebraska because, and then you kind of tell your story. And they can, but can you imagine the conversation with Jesus? Where do you come from? Well, I was born here, and then I ended up here, causing that. But actually, before I was born, before you were born, what? None of us have that story. but Jesus does. So John is clear to point out that Jesus' origin, where he comes from, he's no mere man. His origin is from heaven, but he came down to earth. And John may have picked up on this idea from Jesus himself, being such an important idea, because Jesus emphasized this truth very often. Now, we don't want to go into all of the texts where Jesus alludes to this, but there was a great conversation recorded in John where Jesus made it very clear. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 32 through 33, we read this. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world," explaining that he is the one like the manna who comes from heaven. John 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." I have a mission. John 6, verses 50 and 51, "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." So he's saying, I came down and I came down for a purpose. What is that purpose? It's very important that we all understand he had a mission. He didn't come down just to be born so that we could have a holiday that gives us a day off from our work called Christmas. He didn't come down just to be a good teacher, just to be a good philosopher, a good man. No, he came down to give us life because we were spiritually dead. He came down to show us what life was supposed to be about. Not all of the stuff that we think it's supposed to be about, that we consume ourselves with, but what life is really supposed to be centered on, centered around. You know what consumes our thoughts, drives our actions and our activities? Whatever we chase, we consume ourselves with those things. If we're not constantly engaged in the business of God, His business, His work, who He is, we're not going to become more godly or more Christ-like or more Christ-centered.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. We're just merely adding him to our life. And that's why we see those who say, "I'm a Christian," and yet you see no real fruit. There's a compromise. There's, add a little of Jesus, add a little of this. Oh, and don't do, I got to have balance. So balance with what? The world? So Jesus said, "I came down to give life and to show you what life is really all about." He didn't spend his whole life trying to preserve his life. He said, "I came down to do the will of the Father who sent me. And then I'm going to die and I'm going to go up there and live real life." So, in easing Joseph's concerns about Mary's pregnancy, Joseph, Mary's future husband, the angel told him exactly why Jesus came. Matthew 1, verse 20 and 21. "But while he thought about these things," that's Joseph, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" A mission. He came to die. That's why John the Baptist would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus, you could say, came to earth on a business trip. The business of heaven, the business of love. So we can put all of our trust in him because of where he comes from, his origin. But there's more, verse 32. What he has seen and heard, he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Another reason we can trust him completely is because of his proclamation, his words, what he declared to the world. You see, because his origin is from heaven, guess where his testimony comes from? Heaven. He can speak with authority. He's been there. You know the concept of the red letter Bible? I know some like to only read the red letters. I only read the red letters, but that's not the purpose of the red letter edition or the red letter Bible, is so that you dismiss the rest of the Word of God because only the red letters are the Word of God. That's not true. But the idea of the red letters is all of the others, when they spoke, it was secondhand. It was God speaking to a heart and that person being used by God to speak. But when Jesus spoke, it wasn't secondhand. This is firsthand, the Word of God. This is firsthand, God said this. And so where are those? Not that in the Scriptures we should neglect other portions and only look at the red letters, because it's all the Word of God. But the difference is when Jesus spoke, it wasn't filtered through anything. It was the Word of God. Jesus was 12 years old, hanging back in the temple. And the people were in the temple with him when he would talk and reason, because that's what they would do. All of the sage advice and all the wise counselors and the religious leaders would discuss scriptures and wrestle with things. And yet, when Jesus, this 12-year-old, was in there, it said the people were amazed at what he was saying. Wasn't because he had a good school. Jesus gave a great message on this mount we call the Mount of Beatitudes. Afterward, the people, it says, were amazed at his teaching, amazed at what he had said. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So when he taught them, it was like, not like, "And so-and-so says," and which was what they did. They would refer to this guy or that guy, "and I know you won't believe me, I'm a mere man, but so-and-so, our great scholar, said." But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't point to anybody. And when he said, "In the beginning, this is what it said. God said this. God did this. This is the way it is." He spoke with great authority. One time, the Pharisees approached Jesus, and they had an argument for him. See, they believed that you could get divorced for just any reason. They were getting divorces for any reason. Just give a certificate of divorce. You cooked the food wrong. Certificate of divorce. You're not as young as you used to be. Certificate of divorce. You know, they were just getting divorced. And so it was a problem. And they wanted to defend their practice. And they approached Jesus and they said, basically, if there's no marriage or if all of this isn't true, then why did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce? Their suggestion was that divorce is okay. God said it's okay. Moses commanded us to give a certificate when we get divorced. So why then did Moses command us to give a certificate of divorce? And Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses," and he changed the word, not commanded, "Moses permitted you to divorce." And that was only under certain circumstances anyway, and that wasn't because she burnt the meal or she wasn't as young as she used to be. It was because of infidelity, adultery. And so Moses permitted divorce. And then Jesus said to them, "But from the very beginning, it was not so." And then he pointed them to in the beginning. He said, "In the beginning, for this reason," God said, "man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So, He was able to say this with great authority, not because he had just read the passage a few moments ago, but because he was there. He could say, no, that's not the way it was in the beginning. How do you know? Who are you? I've been to Israel, and I've seen the Garden of Gethsemane, and I once came back to our church, and I was like, man, that our little area reminds me of the Garden of Gethsemane. And this guy goes, according to what movie? Like, where's your authority? I said, no, not a movie. I was there. And you can speak with such authority when you're there. That's the authority Jesus spoke with. Jesus didn't come and proclaim his own philosophy or his own interpretation of the scriptures. Like, well, this is the way I see it. It's not up for debate. In fact, he spoke truth. What he said was truth. In fact, he is the Word of God. If God were to explain, here's who I am, here's what I'm like, here's how I love you, and here's how much. If you were to package that word and put it into a physical body or an illustration, that's what Jesus is. He is the Word of God. And God speaks to us and has spoken to us through his Son. In fact, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 say this, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Oh, by the way, he was there and made the worlds too. Here's an important question, I guess, in light of this truth. If God is speaking to the world through his Son, even today, why isn't anyone listening? Verse 32 says, no one receives his testimony. Now, this is literally hyperbole, an exaggeration about the truth. Because it literally means, you know, and with all the people in the world, almost none of them, very, very few, even listen. Because we know in verse 33, he says, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. Have you heard someone say something like, you know, I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. Have you ever heard that? If you're around long enough, you'll hear it. And what they often mean is this, if we boil it down to what they really are saying. Either they tried it and they didn't find themselves fitting in, or they tried it and walking like everyone else in the church was too difficult for them, not what they really wanted out of life, or trying to live what the Bible teaches didn't produce in their life what they wanted. That's usually what they mean when they say, I tried it, it didn't work for me. The problem is that they tried it. They tried to see if Christianity would serve them. Will this fulfill me? Will this serve my needs? Will this serve what I want? You know, here's what I would like, and man, it just didn't meet that. I need something different. Perhaps another religion, perhaps some other experience. And so they try it, it doesn't work, because you don't try Christianity. You don't try it on like a coat. In this faith, it's really all about faith in him. We don't try it on, we're all in. Say, I believe in you.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.